Good evening. How's everybody doing? Anybody having trouble navigating into the driveway? Yeah, it's a little bit of a challenge. It's good for the people that live on this side of the town, not so good for now for the people that live on the other side of the town. The roles have reversed. Okay, my name is David, and I guess everybody's here for Meditation 101. All right. Anybody here not here for Meditation 101? So I thought maybe what we would start out with doing has, I know I've talked to a lot of people who have never been here before, and there's a lot of people that have been here before. So, this is the Kadampa Center. There's a lot of stuff behind me that has symbolism, a lot of things on the wall that have symbolism and have meaning, most of which I won't be able to explain to you. So some of it maybe, little bits and pieces, but. What we're here for the next 5 weeks is a meditation 101. So it's just introduction to meditation and just some specific types. And we're just going to kind of give you little bits and pieces and some things to work on. And then it's kind of your option then to have to go ahead and do the work on them. So I'd like to start just kind of go around the room and let everybody introduce themselves briefly. Just tell us your name. And I'm kind of interested in what attracted you or why you're motivated to come here this evening or to do these classes. So we can just real briefly talk about that, and then we'll let you think about that a little bit later on too. But I'll start out. My name is David Maclis. I have I've been coming to the Kadampa Center now for 9 years, I've figured out, so it's been a while. 2004 we started. I think I was probably Buddhist all my life, though I was raised Methodist. I was always interested in Eastern philosophy and thought and did a lot of reading when I was a kid. I did some meditation when I was a kid, and there's some theory on how that might have carried over from a previous life, maybe. I don't know. We live in Raleigh. My wife and I live in Raleigh. We have two twins. And like I said, we've been coming to the center in 2004. Our children moved out, went off to college, and Karen and I started looking for something, and we came across this Discovering Buddhism class, which was something you might be interested in coming back to. We can talk more about that. But the first one we came to was on death and dying. What an introduction. So we decided to wait till the following year, come into something a little bit more cheery. But it was good. It's a good program. It's a good 2-year program. So I teach a meditation, teaching a prison system. And that's not a job. I also teach in corporations and try to do some organizational development work. But I started teaching in a prison, Nash Prison, and now I teach a class up at Dillon, which is a youth facility up in Butner, and teach to kids, and they get it. Some of them get it, some of them don't. And it's a big benefit for them, and I think they recognize that. So it's the same thing that we teach here. So it's something that anybody can do. So it's not hard, it just takes effort. So do you want to go ahead?
Sure. I'm Mark. I've been coming here for a few months now, probably 3 months, and I just finished up the Buddhism in a Nutshell class last week, which is really good. And I really haven't done much meditation outside of Sundays or when we've been doing the class, so came here to really learn more and to understand and to be able to do that outside of the center.
Very good.
I'm Rebecca. I've been coming here for a couple months now. I guess one of the classes I have kind of been getting interested in meditation lately, and it seems like a kind of a really good practice to start developing. So.
My name is Matt. I came here just kind of learning a little bit more about meditation.
Okay, that's good.
My name is Barry, and I'm here to learn more about Buddhism and meditation.
There you go. Okay, very good. Good reason. That's good. Yeah. Very good. I'm 102, maybe. Very good. I guess we can start working in the back and then we'll head up front. Okay. Very good. Okay. Excellent. Came together. Okay. Okay. Excellent. Uh-huh. Good. You're taking the, you finished the Discovering Buddhism or just the Karma section? Oh, okay, okay, okay. Okay. You might not have missed any of it. Okay. Okay. Now you got some time to do that. No, that's not wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're learning the right way. You're just running into the same roadblocks that everybody runs into. So. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Welcome back. There you go. Drag someone with you. That's always a good way to get here.
I'm Chris, and I run a lot of media stuff here at the center, like amplification and recording and getting things to people who want to read your class again. So that's available.
So anything we're supposed to record all of these. That's right. If I remember to push the button. So, yeah, push it twice. I usually forget to turn it off. I remember to turn it on. So these, all of these will be available to you. I don't know how listening to a tape where people are doing nothing, how much that'll help you. On audio, just silence doesn't work so well. It might work out. So. Chris is very helpful here for a lot of things. So he's a good practitioner too. Long time. Okay, where do we end?
Rob, I was heading home and got caught in the barrel.
That's as good a reason as it is. Karma brought you here. Right.
And I want something more specific.
Okay.
And I meditating in a group.
Oh, good.
Better than on my own.
Okay. And there's some group meditations that.
I've been doing those on
Okay. Sunday. Okay. And I think it's Wednesday and Friday, too. Is that it? And I saw that they're going to try to do it every day, 7:30 to 8:30, something like that. So I don't know that they've got that up and running yet. They're still looking for people to lead that, but they'll be doing more and more. So the groups are, it's a good opportunity, you know, to sit in a group. You're kind of uncomfortable getting them walking out in the middle. It makes you just kind of sit there a little, put up with it. So very good. Okay. This is all about learning about yourself. All that's about learning about yourself. All those books up there, that's what's in these, all along the top, are all about learning about your mind. So, yes.
I'm Sharon, and I've done some meditation before at the Shambhala Center in Durham. But it's been a few years, and I had a lot of benefit out of that experience, and so searching again for some anxiety-reducing techniques.
Okay.
We're searching. This is my son.
All right. Very good. Okay.
My name is Jack, and I took this class about a year ago and been kind of lax on my meditation practice lately, so I thought it would be good for a refresher.
Oh, jump start.
I'm Glenn. I've been coming to the Kadampa Center on Sundays for about 2 months, and prior to that for about two years, I've been doing a bit of reading and practicing some meditation in the morning. And I'm interested in the different methods, especially as it might move to standing and walking, which I've mostly just sat, but I know there's a lot of other methods as well.
Very good. Yeah, and there are a lot of... you can do meditation all day, you know, mindfulness practices. There's opportunities all the time to do mindfulness practice. We did a class, and we had people, this is in a corporation, and I had people take a little sticky and put, be mindful. And they at break, they stuck it on their dashboard, you know. And the idea is that when they went home, when they got in their car, as soon as they got in the car, they saw that, start the ignition, and they were supposed to be focused on being mindful all the way home. And then relay that experience the next day. And it's pretty amazing some of the stuff that the people notice, you know, about doing that practice. But I heard somewhere where, you know, do you want people practicing meditation or being mindful when they're driving? And And somebody would say no, but then you say, well, do you want people to be just mindless and somewhere else? So we really do have opportunities to be mindful. It doesn't mean that we're not focused. It means we're intently focused on what we're doing. So there really is some benefit in trying to find as many opportunities as possible to be mindful. And, you know, brushing your teeth, taking a shower, there's opportunities all over the place. So you just have to kind of grab them and incorporate those into practice. So we'll talk more about that.
My name is Evan.
Evan.
And, I was here about 2 years ago, and I'm back instantaneously. And
followed the barrels in, like.
I wasn't familiar with that one. Made my way here. So I walk a lot, and I find. I don't really have a God, if you will, but I try and pray a lot, and I'd like to be able to meditate more. I meditate in the morning. I'd like to be able to get more in touch with myself, be more objective to my thinking, not get all caught up in the crazy, you know, just the disheveled thoughts, and be able to kind of see thoughts as they come and let them go. So I'm really open to whatever I learned today. I'm just receptive right now. I don't really know what I'm here for.
So
here.
That's good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm Jill. I've been here at the center since 08. He's the first one I met.
At a campground in Pennsylvania. That's kind of weird.
I walked up and said, you good?
But you said that to the skinhead,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. So,
Jill's going to be teaching. So.
I'm fine. I'm going to say it, but I'm
she's supporting me. Yeah.
I'm here to be here.
Very good. Jill's a good person, good friend.
My name is Naren, and this is my fourth time, I guess, here. But I come from India, and very close to from Sarna, where Buddha preached first. And I've been there innumerable times.
Wow.
But just to have a picnic. See the deers, the deer park.
Yeah.
Just to see the deers, see his golden statues out of the stupa, and enjoy that. I read about Lord Buddhism since my childhood, because I come from a Hindu family. I've been to Kushinagar, where Buddha gave up his body.
Oh, wow.
Right. And we have visited that place many times. Been to many Buddhist temples in China and Hong Kong and in India, but just for the fun of it.
Right.
No more than that. Well, how got attracted to learn more, although I had read a lot about Nepal too, by the way. This last election, there was a little girl, I don't know if anyone of you remember, she said she was crying and said on TV, I'm sick and tired of Obama and Romney. And she mispronounced the name Obama too. And I looked at myself, I said, I am sick and tired too. So I punched on computer to see, I knew about Buddhism, to see if there's any temple around, I can go and have a little peace. At the same time, Caitlin was speaking on misleading mind.
Okay.
And I attended that for 2 days. And started reading more little books here and there. So I thought, okay, let me learn more meditation. I've never done it, and that's why.
Very good. Very good. So everybody has a reason for being here, and at some point we're going to... We talk about setting motivation. I'm not going to do too much with that this evening, but I think it's important that we remind ourselves why we're here. Before you start your practice. And that'll be something that if you get in the habit of doing and kind of setting an intention or motivation for why you're doing it. I compare this to physical exercise. Mental exercise is a lot like physical exercise. You know, it's internal instead of external. And you have to just do it. A lot of it's just doing it, you know. There's not a right or a wrong way. There are things, techniques that you can do to make it better, but everybody has to overcome the same barriers that we'll talk about later on One of the classes I have to, I get a kick out of this. One of the classes I did at Dillon, we usually start out with maybe 8 kids, and by the time we get through, we're down to about 2, because they have, to come to class is optional, and usually the video games or some other options always sounds better a little further on. Because this isn't real exciting stuff. I mean, it's kind of boring. But one of the kids, the first time we sat, and I said, and I asked them if they know anything about meditation. You know, sometimes they'll say, yeah, I see on TV, they do this, and then they float in the air and stuff. So, whatever's going to happen. So, you know, we sat, and we did probably 3 minutes. It's about all they can take the first time, 2-3 minutes. And at the end, the one kid said, when's it going to happen? And I said, well, when's what going to happen? He goes, well, something's supposed to happen. I said, no, this is as good as it gets. And that was the last I ever saw of him. So I always think, you know, people come into this with an expectation of maybe something's going to happen. So I just want to help you understand that if nothing happens, that's okay. That's the whole thing, is we're trying to stop everything from happening and just allow kind of things to unfold on their own. So I just want to make sure everybody understands that nothing may happen tonight. So, if you haven't turned off your cell phones, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and do that or put them in silent mode. But we're going to start out with just a little simple. Let's see here. This is my ending bell. Can you hear that? Okay. I just want you to sit. We're not going to spend too much time right now on posture. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Feet flat on the floor if you're in a chair. And if you can kind of keep your back straight, that's ideal. If you're in the cushions, whatever's most comfortable for you. If you can sit cross-legged, that's good too. And your back straight. Your eyes can either be closed or slightly open. And again, we'll go into more detail on this in a few minutes. And then I'm just going to talk a little bit. I want you to take a few breaths, 2 or 3 breaths in and out. And when you breathe in, just kind of imagine there's a pure light going in through your nostrils and enters your lungs and gets picked up by your bloodstream and travels all around and gets absorbed by the cells. And then when you exhale, picture all the impurities kind of coming out like soot and just floating off into space. And do about 3 or 4 of those breaths. Then I want you to start and think about where your body is touching the ground. Usually start at your feet somewhere. And focus on, if you're on the chair, focus on your feet. Or if you're in a cushion, focus on your feet. And just kind of let everything relax in your feet. Sometimes you can picture just the muscles relaxing or picture it like turning to concrete or melting. And just notice the sensation. And then allow that to come up and let your ankles relax. Then your calves. Just feel it kind of relax. Your thighs. Where your butt end is sitting on the floor in the chair. Just let it kind of relax. All the muscles relax. Then let your abdomen, your stomach relax. Your chest. Your shoulders relax. Then let your fingers, think about your fingers and let them just kind of melt to whatever they're sitting on. Your wrists and your forearms, your upper arms. Your shoulders again. Your neck. Move up your jaw. Just feel it kind of relax. Your tongue, your mouth, your nose, cheeks. Your ears, your eyes, your forehead, and then your scalp, top of your head. Now, if there's any tight spots, just do a real quick body scan. If there are any tight spots, focus on them. Let them relax as well, those spots. And then from the top of your head, now picture your brain actually relaxing. Your eyes and your sinuses and all the organs internally as you go back down. Your tongue and your throat. Picture your lungs and your heart actually relaxing too. Stomach, intestines, everything internally just relax. And notice the sensation. Feel the spot where your hands are rested, or your feet are touching the floor. Now allow your breath just to flow in and out without effort. Then I want you to start counting your breaths. Inhale, exhale is one. Inhale, exhale is two. Focus on the breath as it goes, the air as it moves in and out. Just count. If your mind wanders, gently pull it back to the breath and start counting all over again. your mind has wandered, pull it back to the breath. Gently bring your attention back to the room. So how was that experience? What were there positive things that came out of it? Were there frustrations or negative things that came out of that?
I'll get to about five before my
mind. Okay, all right. Did anybody else have that problem? Their mind would... They call that excitation, right? So that's one of the barriers.
I struggled with finding a comfortable way to breathe during that, you know, just trying to sit still and trying to find the breath, full breath. I was kind of struggling with getting full breath.
So you found it hard to breathe naturally.
Yeah.
that's a whole different ball game. There's some pretty advanced things on that, and I was reading recently about, you know, trying to breathe naturally is almost impossible, because if you're focused on it, you're breathing unnaturally. So that's not uncommon. That's good. You felt like what? I'm sorry? The breath did? It was just kind of, so it was a very natural thing for you? Okay, good, good. Anybody else? Other experiences? Yes, sir.
I like the progression of relaxing body parts.
Uh-huh.
Me, rather than trying to relax the whole, just gradually.
Yeah, good. Focus on one spot at a time. There's a number of different meditations that you can do, like that body scan. And it's a great way to fall asleep at night, too, if you have trouble. You know, start at your feet and work your way up. Just let everything melt into the mattress, and you'll be asleep before you get back down again, probably. Other experts? I'm sorry.
That's what you mentioned, melting. That's what I try to envision, actually, that I'm just, like,
thinking. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, melting, or sometimes if I'm in bed, I'll do, like, concrete. You know, just kind of the weight just kind of sinks into the mattress, too. Somebody, yes?
Helping a man with trouble breathing naturally. I have asthma, and I have this machine thing called a thermometer.
Yeah.
And it's really helping breathe naturally.
Oh, really? Blowing into that?
Well, no, you have to, like, balance the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
And then push your air out.
Okay. Oh, wow. Spirometer. Yep.
I think
yeah, no, that's what it's called. Yeah, yeah. I was a nurse in one time in my life, too. So. It's a spirometer, yeah. Yeah. David Sanborn learned to play a saxophone, and that's how he got over asthma. So. Other experiences? So, how many of you got frustrated with losing count? Found that a frustration? Okay. I mean, I did too. You know, I feel like oh, I've got to focus. You know, here I am. I'm wandering again. I got to focus. And I think what I came to realize is the exercise isn't in maintaining a focus so much as it is in recognizing you've drifted. Okay? Does that make sense? It's the recognition that there goes my mind. Let gently pull it back. Someone says, like, you know, trying to paper train a puppy. You have to just kind of keep bringing it back. There's all sorts of different analogies there, but you know, gently. The key is to be gentle with yourself, because then you get angry and you get irritated. But if you're not focused, don't worry about it. The key, especially in the beginning, is recognizing I'm not focused. Here comes a thought, because at some point those thoughts will come up and you'll be able to just kind of, you know, they'll bubble up and you'll let them go and you'll start letting them go. But the first step is recognizing my mind's wandered. So that's actually a very good thing. Most of the time, our minds are all over the place anyway. So to recognize that that's occurring is huge. You know, it's huge. Meditation. This room is called Gampa. It's called the Gampa, and Gam is a Sanskrit, I think, term for meditation, and it means to become familiar. All right, that's what Gam means. So what we're becoming familiar with is our minds, and it's something that most people aren't familiar with, or they're not comfortable with for any length of time. And I think that's where, you know, we get bored. We sit for a few minutes. We sometimes, you know, we start daydreaming. Things come up. We want thoughts. We want things going on. We're always somewhere else. Somebody said that. I think Evan said that. We're always somewhere else. So the whole idea is to become familiar with our mind. And we start that process by recognizing that we're somewhere else. By recognizing our mind is wandering somewhere else. So that's really the exercise. And as we get better and better at it, it becomes very comfortable. It becomes very comfortable. And we begin to let go of things that that we would normally, you know, we normally follow those thoughts, that kind of chatter that goes on, that monkey mind in our head. And so as we begin to kind of let go of those things, there's some real value in that. And we can talk more about that later on. Anger is a good example. You know, when we get angry, the people in prison, a lot of them are there because of anger, you know, the outcomes of anger. So they go into rage and they think that, well, it's just the way I am. But as they practice, they realize, well, first they get irritated, then they get frustrated, then they get angry, and then they go into rage. There's kind of a progression. And the goal for them is to recognize that here comes that thing called irritation. And like these thoughts that pop up, you know, if we can see these things early on and let go of them, it has huge advantage for prisoners and us as well. We spend a lot of time being irritated and angry, and a lot of the stress that arises comes from not from reality, but from our bend on whatever's happening around us, our own reality, right? We kind of make that up throughout the day. So again, the objective, especially here in the beginning, is to just recognize our mind has drifted, bring it back, and that it's that recognition that here comes a thought or feeling or emotion that becomes a value, okay? So again, the purpose, and it's not like relaxation techniques, even though there's some of that can be in that, some of the mental images and the body scans and things like that. The idea is to develop a sense of focus. And the first step in developing that focus is recognizing that we're not focused. Does that make sense? Anybody have any comments or questions? Jill, you got anything you want to add? Help me out here, Jill. Huh? And then the idea in Buddhism, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about Buddhism, but this is kind of the underlying thing. It's not, you know, even though there's lots of deities behind me and on the wall. It's not a deity-driven spiritual practice. So all of these things represent internal mental things, okay? And the deeper you go into this practice, you begin to utilize some of these tools and some of these things around us. The whole idea is that if we can catch our minds and the thoughts and feelings and emotions that bubble up, and we can learn then to filter out the negative ones and let those go, and hang on to the positive ones in a way that makes us happy. So that's really kind of the ultimate goal, is to do things that are positive for our mind and get rid of the things that are negative for our mind. And you have the power to do that. You know, it's just a matter of practice. I mentioned before, it's like physical exercise. I have a slide that I'll show sometimes in a class, and it's a weight room, you know, exercise room, like at a gym. So what we do is we'll show people different machines, but you can't just look at the machine and get stronger. You know, you can't just put on your gym clothes and stand there in the middle of the gym and expect something to happen. It takes work. You got to practice, and that's the hard part for people. You know, you really need to take the time to practice. And that's a discipline. I'm going to sit down for 10 minutes a day and do this boring thing. And at some point, it becomes less boring. And at some point, it becomes something you begin looking forward to. And you slowly realize that your day goes a little better when you do it. And it goes a little worse if you don't do it. And over time, as you begin to let go of these things in your head, things start to get a lot better. And you really begin to look forward to doing your meditation. But in the beginning, like any other, do we have people in here that exercise regularly? Run? Anybody runners? When you started doing that, it's pretty tough. You know, it really is. But you build the discipline that you do it every day, even when you don't want to. And you're going to have days when it's good, and you're going to have days when it's lousy, you know. And that's just part of the practice, too. You just have to kind of work through those. But if you can set up the discipline to do it regularly, over time, it'll begin to feel really good. It'll really feel good because you'll start to filter out that stuff and let go of things, you know. Little things that irritate you can begin letting go of those. That's the key. I told you I'd talk a little bit about posture. First I'll mention this because I always forget it. There's two books. There's actually more than two books out there. There's the two books that they recommend when they wrote this curriculum. Kathleen McDonald's How to Meditate. That's kind of a standard one that's been around for a long time, and it's pretty good. She's got a lot of different good meditations in there. And then the other one, let's see, the other one is called What is Meditation? By Rob Naren. There's a Meditation for Dummies book that's actually pretty good. I think there's two guys that wrote it. Robbie, our center director, knows them pretty well, and they're very good. So that's a good book. And there's a few other ones out there too. Some of the people, I have a preference, a gentleman called Alan Wallace. I gravitate toward Alan Wallace's works. And he's a physicist and then was a Buddhist monk. So he puts a pretty good science spin on it, I guess, and is really quite good. So, but for those that have that kind of interest, and then there's some other books like Buddha's Brain and some other ones out there that are pretty good. And you're welcome when we're done here tonight, or if you want to come early, you're welcome to browse around the bookstore. You know, the prices are in all the books and whatnot. So, and if you're a member, there's a pretty good library out there too. So. Anything else? Comments? Questions? issues? Anybody disappointed it hadn't happened yet? What are your thoughts? Please. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Good point.
And
that's a good point.
So naive, and when you said that, I felt like, and I can see people's faces if I mention it, they go.
Yeah. So very good. Yeah, so it's not about emptying our minds. It's about filtering, you know? It's about filtering. And in fact, when we do some Vipassana, or we do some analytical meditation, we actually might pull some specific things in to think about, you know, to drill down. I have, how many of you remember, I don't know, my parents used to say, if I didn't eat everything on my plate, think of all the starving children somewhere, I don't know, wherever they were starving at the time. And, you know, but the whole idea behind that is if you think about that, and I do a meditation with a bottle of, you know, bottle of water that I put dirt in, and we think about what it's like to drink that water and recognize that around the world there's people drinking water like that. And then you begin to recognize, and I'll do that meditation later on. Then we begin to recognize how good we have it here. You know, our spiritual teacher Geshe-la talks about, you know, we have more in our grocery stores. We have more pet food than most places they have in their entire grocery store in most countries, right? And I've got 7 food lines within about 3 square miles of my house. So, you know, when we drill in on something like that and recognize how fortunate we are, because we kind of take that for granted, but when we really drill down on that and recognize how fortunate we are in comparison to all the other people out there in the world, 8 billion people. And then when you start comparing it to all the animals and other kind of creatures, and I mean, it's just amazing how fortunate we are. When you drill in on that, that's a pretty powerful feeling, you know, and you kind of well that up and capture that emotion and hold on to it. And it can give you a pretty nice little boost for a, you know, pretty good period of time. So it's those kind of things. We aren't emptying our mind. We're being selective about what we put in there, and we're also choosing not to think about things that cause us problems. And it's just, you know, it's not to say that the problem is going to go away. We just choose not to think about it. I tell the kids, in prison, there's always other prisoners or other people are trying to push your buttons, right? The whole idea is to kind of just irritate. It's a kind of a constant state of irritation. I said, you're not gonna get people to stop pushing your buttons. You can make your buttons go away, you know? And that's really the goal, is just to not let that stuff bother you. And so there's lots of opportunities for that if we focus in. And the first step is recognizing, oh, here comes that thought, you know? We do some work in, I tell people as they're practicing patience, find something that irritates you. You know, if it's waiting in line at the grocery store, or someone cutting you off in traffic, whatever it is, and pick that as a chance to say, I'm not going to get irritated by that, and let it go. And that's huge, you know. But the first step is seeing that irritation come up in your head. And so when we recognize our mind is going somewhere, it's in the recognition that we get the value from it. So, other questions or comments? Anybody ready to leave? Yes, sir.
Difference between focus and mindfulness.
The difference between focus and mindfulness. I don't know. I don't think so. So we develop the ability to you know, the focus meditation is, you know, it's like sharp, it's like polishing the lens of a microscope. And then an analytical meditation is like slipping a slide to look at something. The focus, if we are mindful throughout the day, it means we're focused on whatever we're doing in the present moment. So, you know, when John Kabat-Zinn, you probably have heard of him. He had a little thing that, you know, the next time you're in the shower, check to see if you're really in the shower. You know, you may already be in your meeting for that day, and the whole meeting might be in there with you. Everybody might be in there with you. You know, and the idea of being mindful is just focusing on the sensation of the water coming down on you. You know, if you stop and feel that, it's really quite wonderful. We'll sometimes do a focused meditation on a piece of chocolate. And the people that do that, you know, when you stop and you smell it and you unwrap it and you let it melt on your tongue. And I mean, it's the best piece of chocolate you've ever had. But we normally just, you know, I do anyway. So the idea of mindfulness is just being focused on whatever's in the present moment. And that is a focus. But it's a matter of pulling your mind back to the moment. And I said earlier, there's lots of opportunities to do that. You know, I try to use stoplights as an opportunity to focus, to be mindful, so that minute or 90 seconds, or however long that light is red, is I stop and just focus on sitting there. I used to get irritated at stoplights, so, you know, you kind of switch that around. It's the same time, I'm still sitting there, but it's an opportunity instead of a problem. So I kind of went all the way around to say, I don't know if there's a difference between. Sorry, I ramble sometimes. Other comments or questions? Yes, please.
I found it actually kind of difficult to relax. I guess you said you were doing, how you called it, body
scan? Okay. Why do you think? Okay, all right, well, that's good.
No, I don't know, I guess it's because maybe what you had said earlier about, you know, our minds tend to go all day and we're always focusing on different things, and I think maybe that translates to our bodies as far as
absolutely.
Muscles just kind of being all
tense. Absolutely, and don't get frustrated with the difficulty in trying to accomplish that. You know, if you're gonna, I don't know, lift the weights, bench press or something like that, you don't start out with 300 pounds, you know, and everybody in here would start out with a different weight. You might have to just start out with the bar, you know, and that's okay. That's okay. So don't set your expectations too high. There are certain meditations that you might do exceptionally well, and other people might struggle with. We use a program called 16 Guidelines that they teach here sometimes. And there's 16 different attributes or values or whatever. It's how we think, how we act, how we relate to others, and how we find meaning. And how we think is patience. I'm supposed to know these. Forgiveness. Contentment. There's four of them. So, and there's a number of different attributes, 16. But some people do generosity real well, and some people don't do contentment so well. So we all have strengths and weaknesses when we begin to focus on what's going on in our mind, which is really what this is. So if there's an area that you're not doing so well, recognize you're not doing so well in that, and that's an opportunity to practice more. But the fact that you saw that you had difficulty relaxing is huge, because you probably always have difficulty relaxing, but you don't normally see it. Does that make sense? So, you know, seeing it is the first step. That's a big deal. And for a lot of this, as you do more and more, thoughts and emotions and things will start to well up. Sometimes we'll take like a, you know, those snow globes, you know. So that's what your mind's kind of like. And when you begin to settle it, the water gets real clear. But a lot of times there's some junk in that water. You know, it might be old tires or whatever, old washing machine, whatever's in there that you'll start to see. And it might be a frustration, but that's okay, you know. The first step is clearing the water. That stuff's always been there. You just have never seen it before. So it's okay. It's okay. You know, be gentle with yourself. Don't get frustrated. Just keep kind of chipping away at it, and it'll eventually come. You can't do it wrong. It's impossible to do this wrong. You can have difficulties, but you can't do it wrong. Okay?
I like what you said there about expectations can lead to frustration.
Yeah.
In things that we try to do, and add to that is in relationships, expectations can lead to resentments.
Absolutely. They call those, in Buddhism, they call those expectations attachments sometimes, you know. So we have, and anger is when our expectations don't get what it wants. And you never get what you want, you know. I hate to say that, but you never get what you want. Sometimes. Rabina says, I like what she says about, you know, we go through life expecting green lights. And when we get a red light, something, you know. That messes us up. We're going to get red lights. You know? So, if we can recognize our expectations, are our attachment to getting through the grocery line quickly, or not getting cut off in traffic, or whatever the case may be. If we can let go of those expectations, then it makes our mind better. And that's the whole goal, is just to focus on your own mind and make it better. Okay. And another thing. So sometimes I'll talk about a concept that from a neuroscience standpoint is called metacognition. So the human mind is capable of seeing its own thoughts. All right, we have thoughts, and then we can see those thoughts as they arise. So when we practice, let's say we're learning to play a musical instrument or learning to play golf or a sport or something like that, we use that metacognitive process to evaluate how we did and then adjust accordingly. So, you know, you learn how to take a golf swing and you don't do very good. And I don't play golf, by the way. I'm just making this up. Tennis, I play tennis. And then you evaluate, well, maybe I need to change my grip or I need to do this or do that, and you do it again. You get pleasure out of doing that, and the idea is you just keep practicing and you get better and better and better. When do you arrive? You know, if you're really good, you'll say you'll never arrive. It's in the journey. And the same is true with this. We practice watching our thoughts and emotions as they crop up, and we adjust. And then we practice and we adjust. So, you know, if you don't get frustrated learning an instrument, musical instrument, or a sport or something like that, then allow yourself the same opportunities here. Just recognize I'm going to practice and adjust and practice and adjust. And it's a never-ending process. You know, hopefully you'll never reach a point where you say, I don't ever have to do this anymore. Hopefully you reach a point where you think, I want to do this all day long, you know. So that's the goal. Other thoughts, comments? I wanted to talk a little bit about posture. There's some handouts. Did you guys find those on the website? So, was it kanapacenter.org? Yeah, maybe. Do you all know how to get to our website? Just Google, yeah, Kadapa Center, Raleigh or something, you'll find it. And if you go to, now there's on the calendar, it says Meditation 101, and it has a description about this class. But off to the side on the homepage, it says Spiritual Programs. And if you go to that, the one that says Meditation 101, it'll have the handouts for this class. And there's a handful of meditations that you can print out. I think they're PDFs or something. So I would encourage you to go ahead and look at those. One of the handouts that you can get tonight, there's the body scan, I think counting the breaths, and then the posture. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the posture. They talk about a seven-point posture. So the first one, the first position, if you're sitting in a chair or on the floor, would be your legs. So if you're on the floor, if you can sit cross-legged, that's ideal. If you can't sit like this, don't worry about it. I'm sure Jill can get in a full lotus. Be my guess. This is about the best I can do, but it took me a couple of years to get to this point. And your legs will fall asleep, and that'll be an irritation, but you just work through that, and finally they stop doing that too. If you're on a chair, which is acceptable, try to sit with your feet flat on the floor and try to find a chair that you can kind of get, pretty much a 90-degree. Also, try not to lean against the backrest. It's easy to kind of slouch that way. So we got our legs, we have our back. If you picture your back, I say sometimes like a stack of coins stacked up. If you're on the floor, it helps me, and I hear it helps everybody. If you're sitting on a zafu, which is what these pillows are called, if you can sit towards the front, so your hips are actually, or your knees are kind of lower than your hip, it has a tendency to straighten your back out a little bit. So we have our legs, we have our back, which is straight, kind of natural spine or natural curve. Your arms and hands. The traditional pose in this tradition is the right hand in the left with the thumbs touching. But do whatever's comfortable. Get your hands comfortable in whatever position you want. If you want them resting on your knees or whatever the case may be, that's fine. Normally they talk about having your elbows out a little bit, and my understanding is that allows air circulation. So I don't know if that's critical or not, but you can make that determination. So we have legs, arms, back. There's three. The top of the head. The head kind of extends to your spine. I picture kind of a string pulling the crown of my head, allowing the front of my head to droop forward just a little bit. So kind of the chin's down. Your jaw should be kind of relaxed. Your teeth don't want them clenched. Your tongue goes at the roof of your mouth behind your front teeth. And I'm told that's to keep you from drooling. So I don't know. It seems to work, I guess. And the eyes can be either closed or slightly open. And usually if I have mine slightly open, I try to focus on something, a spot on the floor or something or other in there. And that kind of depends on, we'll talk about difficulties later on, but the two big obstacles that you typically run into are, they call it laxity, or you get sleepy, right? Or excitation, your mind races, hyper mode, where your thoughts just kind of shoot off all directions. The ideal is somewhere in between. That's the point that we're looking for, So we're relaxed, yet we're fully awake. If you tend to be sleepy, it's better to keep your eyes open. If you tend to be excited, then it might be better to close them. So, all right, well, let's do one other one here. So we're going to do just another breathing meditation, but this time try to be aware. It's a bare attention meditation. Try to be aware of when a thought crops up. We'll spend more time on this, but sometimes it's helpful to, like, I'll see myself sitting by a stream, and staring at the water, and if a thought comes, I put it on a leaf and let it float downstream. Or if an emotion comes up, just kind of set it on there and let it go. So the object is to let go, to recognize here it comes, and then let it go. Okay. So we'll do a few minutes of this. So 7 points. Think of your feet or legs, your spine, your arms and hands, your mouth and jaw, top of your head, and your eyes. And then we'll take a few breaths in and out. And again, try to picture this pure light going in when you inhale. And when you exhale, think of all the negativities and impurities coming out like soot and just taking off into space. And then just start your breathing. Focus your attention. Sometimes if you focus your attention on either the tip of your nose and feel cool air going in, warm air going out, and feel the sensation, or on your stomach or abdomen and just gently feel it rise and fall like it's going up and down on swells of an ocean. Try not to follow the air going in and out, but just note the sensation. And if a thought or an emotion arises, when you recognize that you're following it, let it go. How'd that go?
Good
nap. There you go. Nighttime's a hard time for me. Yeah. Any thoughts, feelings? Were you able to let go of things when you caught yourself thinking about things or whatever? Yeah, that's right.
And then it became a little difficult to get back.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you're, okay, now I'm thinking about letting it
be. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that continues for a long time, you know. Other thoughts? I may fall asleep. It's okay. What is a problem is if I fall asleep and I don't, we might be sitting there for a long time if I don't ring that bell. It's happened. I did find, I think, when's this guy going to stop? And then you hear me snoring and then that's all right. I did find a note here. See, it teaches me now to read this stuff. They talk about the difference between mindfulness and concentration. And I don't know that I would totally agree with it, but I'll go with it since I didn't write this. Concentration is being able to set the mind on one thing without distraction. That would be the ultimate goal, all right? Single-pointed concentration, they call it. Mindfulness is when you're aware and observe the stream of consciousness, thoughts and emotions and whatnot. So mindfulness is when you see, oh, here it is, there it is, you know. Concentration is just single-pointed. I don't know that I would spend a lot of time worrying about that right yet. I mean, it's probably worth noting, but right now we're working on, I guess, on trying to develop concentration, but it's through the process of being mindful. So, yes.
Quick question.
Yep.
What is the difference between transcendental meditation and the meditation we are doing?
I don't know. Does anybody know the difference transcendental meditation? I think it was just a term that was used in the 70s. But I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I was kind of interested. There's a mantra? Okay. Because they use mantras here, too. And I'm not sure how that's different or similar. So, okay. Yeah, I remember. I don't remember much about the 70s, but I remember a little bit.
I have heard that in that they say, if mind is wandering, let it. Just follow it. And I have no idea what that is.
No, I don't either. Yeah, because that's kind of our goal is to observe it, you know, and watch it, and be able to control that. There's these paintings are called tankas, and there's one out in the lobby that has an elephant and a monkey and a rabbit and a man, and I'll not be able to say this well, Chris. It starts out, the elephant's black, and the monkey's in front. So the monkey is a monkey mind. The elephant is our mind. The man is chasing after it. I'm not sure what the rabbit is. I'm not sure the representation there, so I'm not going to make anything up. But anyway, as they practice further and further, the elephant begins to turn white. The monkey moves to the back, and the man moves to the front. So, you know, our teacher talks about the mind as being strong as an elephant. There's a lot of destruction that the human mind can do. Obviously, we've seen that. But there's a lot of good that the human mind can do as well, and we've seen that equally. So the practice enables us to be able to harness the power of the mind and then be able to channel it in a direction that allows us to control it. You know, most of the time we think our minds are controlling us. But when you start to do this practice, you realize you have control over your mind as well. And that becomes becomes a challenge, but it becomes hugely liberating as well. You know, when you recognize I have the power to make decisions about things that can make positive things instead of negative things. And it's really a wonderful when you begin to realize you have the power to do that. It just takes work. It just takes work. Other questions or thoughts? Did you? No. So for next week, the homework I'm going to ask you to work on, you know, get the handouts, think about the 7-point position, sitting, the posture, practice maybe the bear tension or any of those meditations. Fine. I'd like you to try to do 10 minutes a day. And this last meditation we did was 6 minutes, so it was almost there. It might have seemed like 30 minutes to some people, but it was 6 minutes. So if you can do 10 minutes, if you can't, that's fine, do 5 minutes, do what you can, okay? I've read where it's good to end on a good note, you know, don't push yourself to the point where you get off your pillow or off your seat upset, you know? If you can leave on a high note, that's better. So do what you can. If you can do 10 minutes, that's ideal. And try to find, we'll talk more about this later, but trying to find a spot. If you can set a particular spot that you'll do this in, that's ideal. And usually you'll find that you'll have a best time to do this as well. And it might be first thing in the morning, it might be at night. It depends on your mind. I do really well early in the morning. Very early in the morning, but at night it's no good for me. And other people, it's just the opposite. So find your rhythm and find out what works best for you. So yes, please.
How important is the posture if you wanted to meditate laying down?
If then that's fine. If it's just that's really because then you're. I mean, you're going to try to maintain concentration as much as you can, but your goal is to fall asleep. I'm guessing. And that, you know, just use it for that if that works out. I would encourage you to also find a time where you're not using it to go to sleep. Because you might get in the habit of thinking every time I meditate, I'm going to fall asleep. And that might not be something that you want to work on too hard. It'll come naturally. You won't have to work on that. So yeah, if you're going to do that, I encourage you to do the body scan at night, you know, if you want to try that. But then try to find a time during the day, 5-10 minutes where you can sit. If you do it at lunch, you can do a break, whatever works out best for you. Try to find something. And, you know, maybe try to find some time to be mindful. Try to pick something. You know, some people use every time I open it. Thich Nhat Hanh, I think, uses stairs or a door or something that every time he turns the doorknob, you know, he tries to focus on that. I use red light. Some people use brushing your teeth or taking a shower or something. Driving the car is a good one. You know, if you have a little trouble with road rage, try being mindful while you're driving your car and you'll see things start to dissipate, you know, let go of things. It's a good one. So try to find as many opportunities as you can throughout the day. But set your practice, you know, 5 or 10 minutes and try to find a time. You know, we've got a train that goes by here every so often. So, you know, try to pick a specific time if you can. And then next week we'll talk about problems and good things and obstacles and so on and so forth that you might have encountered. Don't get frustrated. You know, if something doesn't happen, don't worry about it. You know, if something does happen, let me know because I'll be wanting to take some lessons from you. So don't get frustrated. Don't, you know, treat yourself well. The objective is to recognize your mind has drifted, and that's huge. So the other thing I'll say, and we won't spend too much time on this, remember what brought you here tonight. I mean, you all went around in a room and talked about that a little bit. And then ask yourself, did I get a little closer to that? A little closer. And then, you know, kind of when you sit down every time, remind yourself, Find a motivation for doing that. And sometimes it's good to do that for other people. You know, we motivate why we're doing this. You know, if I have an anger problem and I can help, this can help with that, then think of all the people that will benefit. And, you know, we can kind of start passing that around a little bit. Because you really, well, people begin to recognize that there's a little change. You know, people are a little bit different. Somebody in here, one of the classes, the two sisters, they used to, or she'd go to Thanksgiving and she'd always get in a fight with her sister every year. It's kind of an annual thing. And she said, I didn't fight with her this year. And it kind of threw my sister out of whack. She wanted to know what was going on. Surprised her. You know, that was worth it in itself. But she said, I actually enjoyed it. So, you know, find some motivation for doing this. And think about that motivation. If you can set the motivation before you begin and then dedicate it to those people or whoever it might be at the end, it's really helpful. So, all right. 8:28. You all set? Be careful going home. Thank you all for coming. Hopefully we'll see you next week. If not, that's okay too. Good night. And, you know, feel free to shop around out there if you need some help, if you want to buy something. You know, one other thing I always forget to say, and I won't forget this time, is the center operates, we take no money for any classes or anything. This is actually the largest Buddhist center, Tibetan Buddhist center in the United States, as far as population is concerned. We have more members than any other center here in the U.S. And I think a lot of it has to do because we don't collect money. We don't charge for things here. But we do have boxes because we still have to keep the lights on and Chris has to buy fancy electronic equipment. So there are boxes, they call them Donna boxes or donation boxes, and there's some out and around. If you feel like any time between now and the next 5 weeks that you want to drop something in there, it's very helpful. So, thank you. You all have a good night.